I want to take the opportunity to highlight and address a virus the world is facing today. A virus greater than COVID and more resilient as well. It's been around a lot longer than COVID has. I'm talking about this virus of universalism. The idea that God is merciful and therefore he won't let anyone be lost, not a single one. You might also call this virus by another name other than universalism. You might call it whateverism. Because if God won't let anyone be lost, not a single one, why bother? Why avoid sinning? Why need a savior? Why do we need to evangelize if everyone is going to be saved in the end? This virus of universalism or whateverism is very real, and it poses a very real spiritual danger for people today. That's why today's gospel is so important for us. And I would say, whoever has ears ought to hear. There's someone in the crowd who has an opportunity to ask Jesus a question, and he asks, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He was probably a Jew, and he was probably referring to the people of Israel. Will only we be saved? We're the chosen ones. Is everyone else going to be, all the Gentiles, are they going to be condemned? Listen to what Jesus has to say in response. He doesn't, as you noticed, he doesn't give a direct answer, which he often doesn't. He says to the man, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough." This answer clearly reveals to us that the path of salvation through the narrow gate, the path of salvation is not an easy one. Number one, it will involve struggle, and not everyone will be successful. How different this is from what often passes as Christianity in America today. We hear about, from some Protestant groups, we hear that salvation is by faith alone. And some groups teach it in such a way that it's as if salvation were as simple as believing and doesn't require any real growth in holiness or any kind of struggle, any kind of ascetical struggle. It's directly contrary to what Jesus preaches in the gospel. And then there are some theologians, even Catholic theologians, who teach that basically everyone is going to heaven, almost despite themselves. And few, if any, will end up in hell. There's a devout couple in my last parish who came to me with a reflection, a meditation they get in their email from Richard Rohr, a Catholic author, teacher, who teaches, I read through this article, this meditation, he teaches outright heresy, that all the damned will one day be restored and join God in heaven for all eternity. And my friends were very confused by this. They're intrigued by this idea. No. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, Jesus says. Many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. Let's look at an often quoted and often misunderstood paragraph from Vatican II, from the document entitled Lumen Gentium, Light to the Nations. It says, quote, "Those also can attain to salvation who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, yet sincerely seek God and moved by grace strive by their deeds to do his will as it is known to them through the dictates of conscience." Okay? Good. Fair enough. But that's often where people stop reading. Because it goes on after that, this paragraph, and it says this, quote, "But often men, deceived by the evil one, have become vain in their reasonings and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, serving the creature rather than the creator. Or some there are who, living and dying in this world without God, are exposed to final despair. Wherefore, to promote the glory of God and to procure the salvation of all of these, and mindful of the command of the Lord, preach the gospel to every creature. The church fosters the missions with care and attention." So the church is saying, yes, it's possible, but it's not easy. People who have not heard the gospel, like we have, are in grave danger of being lost, of succumbing to the desires of the flesh, the world, which is radically changing today, evil, which is spreading in new ways all the time, and the devil, who it would seem is becoming bolder and bolder. It's very easy to be swept away by false teaching today and to find ourselves in rebellion against God, especially those who've never heard the gospel. Is this gospel sobering? Yes, it is. And we need to hear it. What we shouldn't do, however, is get so fixated on the question of numbers, of percentages. How many will be saved? Will it be a few? We shouldn't despair in thinking that, oh, maybe a few will only be saved after all. It's not given to us to know how many. We don't know. No one does. But God alone. And that's not really what we should be fixated on. It's why Jesus doesn't address that. But neither should we go to the opposite extreme of presumption, on the other hand, thinking, I'm one of the insiders. Of course Jesus will recognize me. I went to 12 years of Catholic school, after all. So let's avoid those extremes of despair and presumption. But what should our response be then? I think if I could distill it down to a single word, it would be conversion. Conversion. Jesus says, the first words out of his mouth in the gospel, repent and believe in the gospel. We need to repent of our sins. Resolve to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow after Jesus. Jesus is our treasure. He's the pearl of great price. He's the gate that we need to strive to enter through. And Our Lady of Fatima taught us we need to pray. Pray. Very much for souls at risk of perishing. pray. Our daily efforts to know and to love Jesus and pray for the world matter. We can ask ourselves, am I making a daily effort to grow in holiness? Am I striving to prioritize prayer with the Lord? Do I have a spiritual game plan? Or am I just winging it? The spiritual life is too important to just wing. Do I strive? Do I strive to read sacred scripture every day? Do I pray to the Blessed Mother? As a French Jesuit, St. John Eudes said, "Our wish, our object, our chief occupation must be to form Jesus in ourselves, to make his spirit, his devotion, his affections, his desires, and his disposition to live, and his disposition, excuse me, live and reign there." That's the goal of conversion, I think. Our Lord Jesus Christ came so that we would have life and have it abundantly. He came to seek and save those who were lost. So let's keep our minds fixed on him. Let him reign in our hearts. Keep our mind, our heart, and our soul on him alone, and he'll do the rest.